You know, when people talk about artificial intelligence today, especially when they talk about how a massive neural network actually learns, there's this overwhelming tendency to treat it like black magic.
Oh, absolutely. It's treated like you feed millions of images into a literal black box, billions of numbers crunch around inside and
And out pops a perfect translation, or, I mean, a flawless generated image, or a scarily accurate stock prediction.
Right.
And for a lot of us, it just feels completely unapproachable.
It really does. I think we've collectively mythologized the process to the point where it feels much closer to alchemy than to actual computer science.
Exactly. But if you're listening right now, whether you are a developer actively building and training models, or you're just, insanely curious about what is actually happening inside that black box, you might be surprised to learn that it isn't magic at all.
Not even a little bit.
Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission for this deep dive is to take a stack of standard calculus notes and extract the foundational mathematical engine that powers modern machine learning.
Yeah, we're going to reveal that all of this AI learning basically boils down to one surprisingly elegant concept, which is the chain rule.
And that is such a cool revelation.
Which is a crucial framing for us today, because our
Yeah.
goal isn't to sit here and memorize formulas from a textbook. If you're listening, you likely already understand the basics of a derivative.
Right, that it measures a rate of change.
Exactly. What we want to explore is why this specific rule for handling nested equations is the absolute backbone of massive modern frameworks like PyTorch and TensorFlow.
Which is wild to think about.
It is. We are going to look at how a seemingly simple rule from high school calculus scales up to become the literal learning mechanism of artificial intelligence.
I love that. So let's start with the architectural problem. To understand why the chain rule is so important, we have to look at how things are actually built, right?
Right, the structure of the math itself.
Because most functions we care about in the real world, and absolutely in machine learning, are not isolated simple equations. They are composed functions.
Yeah, a composed function simply means that one function is applied inside another function.
Okay.
So the output of the first one becomes the raw input of the second one. If you look at the source examples, we're talking about raising a polynomial to a power, like x squared plus 1 all raised to the 10th power,
Right.
or applying sine to a polynomial like sine of 3x squared, or even taking the square root of x squared plus 1. In each of these, there is an outer function f and an inner function g.
So it's basically like a Russian nesting doll of math.
That visual is perfect. Yes.
But if our standard derivative rules don't work on these nested dolls, how do we peel back the layers without, breaking the equation?
Well, if you try to just take the derivative of the whole massive thing at once, the math completely breaks down. You can't just look at the outermost shell and understand how the entire system is changing.
Because you'd be ignoring the complex machinery happening inside.
Exactly. So the exact phrase from the sources for the chain rule is this: differentiate the outside, leave the inside alone, then multiply by the derivative of the inside.
Okay, I remember this from calculus.
Yeah, mathematically, it's h prime of x equals f prime of g of x times g prime of x. You systematically unwrap the dolls.
Which makes sense, but how did we even get to that point?
What's fascinating here is how Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz visualized it. His notation revealed the actual physical intuition behind the math.
Okay, break that down for me.
Leibniz essentially said, let's cleanly separate the Russian dolls. If we say u equals g of x and y equals f of u, then the derivative dy over dx is simply d over du multiplied by du over dx.
So if you want to know how the final output changes based on the very first input, you just look at the intermediate steps.
Right. And mathematicians will rightly point out that those du terms don't literally cancel out because they aren't true fractions.
Sure.
But the intuition is entirely sound. It makes it really easy to remember. You are chaining these local rates of change together through multiplication.
Show me how it actually works when the rubber meets the road, like with that x squared plus 1 to the 10th power example.
Okay, let's walk through it. So the outer function is u to the 10th power,
Right.
and the derivative of that is 10u to the 9th.
Got it.
Then the inner function is x squared plus 1. The derivative of that is just 2x.
Okay, simple enough.
So you multiply them together, you get 10 times the quantity x squared plus 1 to the 9th power multiplied by 2x.
Which gives you 20x times x squared plus 1 to the ninth. That is
Yeah,
so clean.
it really is.
And it applies to the other examples too, like for sine of 3x squared, the outer sine, the inner is 3x squared,
Exactly.
making the derivative cosine of 3x squared times 6x, or, 6x cosine 3x squared.
You've got it. And for the square root of x squared plus 1, treating it as a 1 half power gives you 1 half times x squared plus 1 to the negative 1 half times 2x.
Oh, wow. And the 2s cancel out.
Yep. Simplifying beautifully to just x over the square root of x squared plus 1.
Okay, so that makes total sense for two layers. But I'm guessing the chain rule isn't limited to just two functions.
Not at all. And this is where we start scaling up. For a function with three layers, like h of x equals f of g of k of x, the derivative becomes f prime of the inner stuff times g prime of its inner stuff times k prime of x.
So it's essentially a multi-stage relay race where every single runner passes a multiplier baton to the next.
That's a great way to put it. Each link in the chain simply contributes a multiplicative factor.
But why are we talking about chains of three or more? I mean, what does this all mean for the listener who cares about machine learning?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture.
The actual AI part.
Exactly. The gradient of the output with respect to the input is just the product of all the local derivatives along the path. And this exact multiplication path is what allows us to train massive AI models.
Okay, walk me through that. Because a neural network is just a giant string of composed functions, isn't it?
It is. A feedforward neural network is literally just a chain of composed functions. Imagine a simple two-layer network. Your output, y hat, equals an activation function, f2, applied to a weight matrix, w2, times another activation, f1, of w1 times x plus a bias.
That is quite the nesting doll.
It perfectly mirrors that f of g of k of x structure we just talked about.
But when we train an AI, we aren't just running data forward. We are trying to correct its mistakes.
Right. And that brings us to the deep weight problem. To train a network, we need to know how the loss at the very output, let's call it L, depends on a weight matrix like W1 that is buried deep in the network.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because looking at the sources, the derivative of L with respect to W1 is just a long string of multiplied local derivatives.
Exactly. The derivative of L with respect to Y hat times Y hat with respect to the next layer, all the way down.
So backpropagation isn't just like related to the chain rule. It literally IS the chain rule.
Yes. Backpropagation is exactly this. Traversing the computation graph from the output backward to the input, accumulating the product of local derivatives at each step.
That is mind-blowing. The entire concept of AI learning is just calculating the chain rule in reverse.
Yeah, it really is.
But I want to make sure you, the listener, really grasp what this means on a practical level. We're talking about massive matrices and deep layers, but let's zoom in. What happens inside a single isolated neuron?
Let's do that. So imagine a single neuron with a weight W, an input X, and a bias B.
Okay, keeping it simple.
And we pass that through a sigmoid activation function, which is just 1 over 1 plus e to the negative z. Our final output is a.
Got it. And let's say we have a squared error loss function, l equals a minus y all squared.
Right. So according to the chain rule, the derivative of the loss with respect to our weight w breaks down into three parts.
The derivative of l with respect to a times a with respect to z times z with respect to w.
Exactly.
But don't just give me the equations. What do these three specific factors actually tell us about the AI's learning process? Translate the math into English.
Okay, let's translate it. The first part, the derivative of the loss, comes out to 2 times a minus y. This simply represents how wrong the prediction is.
Oh, I see.
The second part is the derivative of the sigmoid function, which is the activation times 1 minus the activation. This represents how sensitive the activation is.
How sensitive it is.
And the third part, the derivative of z with respect to w, is just x. This represents how strongly the input influenced the preactivation.
Wow. How wrong the prediction is, how sensitive the activation is, and how strongly the input influenced the outcome.
Exactly. And this three-way product structure appears everywhere in deep learning.
That perfectly explains the how of neural networks. It isn't a black box making random guesses. It's measuring its own sensitivity and error at every single junction.
Precisely.
But this brings up a huge practical question. If I'm a developer building a model today, do I have to sit at my desk calculating these massive derivative chains by hand every single time?
You'd think so, but no. Modern ML frameworks handle this beautifully.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, it's a system called AutoGrad, automatic differentiation. During the forward pass, the framework automatically builds the computation graph.
So it's secretly tracking everything in the background.
Exactly. It records every mathematical operation as you make it.
And then what?
When a developer calls the backward function, like dot backward in PyTorch, the framework applies the chain rule backward.
Just like that.
Just like that. And here is a crucial point from the text. The framework never needs to know the analytic global algebraic form of the derivative.
Wait, really? It doesn't formulate the whole giant equation?
Nope. It simply computes the gradients dynamically by walking backward through the recorded operations and applying the chain rule at each local step.
Which means as a developer, you just build the network. And as long as the operations are differentiable, PyTorch figures out the training for free.
Exactly. It's incredibly elegant.
It really is.
Yeah.
So to summarize the incredible journey of this deep dive, we started with a basic calculus rule for Russian nesting doll equations. Mm-hmm. We scaled that mechanical linkage up to infinite chains, and we discovered that this multiplier baton is the literal engine backpropagation that allows neural networks to learn.
All automated by a simple dot backward command.
It's just phenomenal.
It is. But it leaves us with a final lingering thought to mull over.
Oh.
Yeah. If modern deep learning relies entirely on recording a computation graph and mechanically walking backward through local derivatives, what does it mean when these computation graphs become unimaginably massive?
Like billions of parameters.
Right. If an AI is making a decision based on millions of chained operations, the chain rule guarantees the math works flawlessly.
Dude, math is perfect.
Exactly. But does the human capacity to actually interpret that chain of how wrong, how sensitive, how strong, does that completely vanish into the depths of the graph?
That is a terrifying and fascinating thought to end on. You have flawless mathematical learning, but total human uninterpretability.